All right. Well, hello, everyone. Oh, man, it's been quite the last couple, well, I guess the last month, but the last couple weeks we've been just moving stuff down to Arkansas here this last week. And, whew, man, I feel like I've run a marathon. And not that I'd be able to handle a marathon at my age, but I'd like to think I somehow could. But tonight's message, it's a topical message, and it's really a message from my heart. And it reminds me of the old Beatles song. I don't know how many of you are Beatles fans out there, but there's a song that says, "You say goodbye and I say hello." Do you remember that one? Well, I thought this was good since we were saying goodbye. And the title of my message is, "I'm saying goodbye, but Jesus is saying hello." See, and that's saying goodbye, it's a complicated affair. It really is, because there's so many things that we desire. We desire to say, desire to sometimes be sorry for. Sometimes there's all these mixed emotions, things we wish we would have done better, things that, you know, we wish we just wouldn't have done at all. It's just being human is a fickle affair. And so we find ourselves in excitement and we find ourselves in sadness. We find ourselves in pleasure and we find ourselves in pain. We find ourselves in achievement and yet we find ourselves in regret. And so the blues alchemist Jimi Hendrix once stated, probably better than I can, he said, "The story of life is quicker than a wink of an eye. The story of love is hello and goodbye and until we meet again." And I like that. I liked just when I was reading through quotes, I was just thinking of maybe, you know, finding a good, I don't know, somebody scholarly and good, but Jimi Hendrix will do. So here, as quick as 17 years has gone by for us. I can't believe at one time, I mean, I think, Tyus, you remember when I had no gray in this beard? And I know you do too. I'm saying, not just saying goodbye to do something, you know, I'm not saying goodbye this time to just do something within Wichita. But today we leave, the Basil family leaves a few states away to see what the Lord might have. And we are excited. We are nervous. We're anxious. But we're ready. And God willing, we will most definitely see you again. I've thought a lot about how I would say goodbye to all of you. And many that I have said goodbye to throughout the years and said hello and goodbye to, some of the people I've said goodbye to along the years, well, I look forward to seeing them in heaven. But for us who are left behind now to this temporary goodbye, the Bible reminded me these recent weeks of a biblical truth that is meaty and substantial that I would like to share with you tonight. So, when we say goodbye to one another, no matter what the occasion, we should always be saying hello to Jesus. Always. He should always be in the forefront. Whenever we part ways, we see it time and time again in the Bible. And there's a lot of implication there that sometimes we miss in the simplicity of, you know, when Paul says goodbye to one of the churches that he started. He says these wonderful goodbyes, wishing people well. And I wanted to just sit there in that a little bit tonight as we look at this meaty truth and say hello to Jesus. There should be no surprise to anyone that this goodbye is a perfect picture of all of us to say, "Jesus, look what you've done. Jesus, look at," not just Becky and I's life. That's not what I'm talking about. This isn't about me. This is about you guys too. What God has done in your life. What we've done corporately as a community. Who we are in Christ. And I think that's an exciting thing. Because goodbyes often tend to be about us, don't they? It's easy to make them about us. But Paul often reminds us, in many of his benedictions, right? Many of his farewells, as he closed out many of his letters, He would bestow a blessing upon whatever church, whatever community of people, which always pointed back to Christ. And that's what I'm here to do this evening. And it would usually sound something like this. This is the only verse that I'm reading from. I mean, I'll have other verses, but this is the main verse that I'm riffing off tonight. And it's 1 Corinthians 16:23, because I just wanted to get one of his go-to sayings, his go-to goodbyes, which is, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." That's it. It's powerful. It's wonderful to have the peace of Christ with us. And man, Paul emphasizes this because he wants to emphasize to everybody who he's saying goodbye to that there is a spiritual connection we all have as believers together. We have a spiritual connection that transcends physical distance. But he is also emphasizing this as he says goodbye, that, well, God is the one thing that's binding us together, that what we and who we should draw on during this time, even more than saying goodbye to one another, is to say hello to Jesus. The Word of God shows us three ways that we get to do this as believers saying goodbye. And that's what I'm going to focus on tonight. And I have 3 points. Not just the Basil family, but all of us corporately saying hello to Jesus through this goodbye. That's the point. And we get to do this through, one, remembering. We get to remember. Two, we got to remember the calling. We have a calling. And three, man, the best part is the blessing. The blessing that we get to receive as believers. So let's just start. Anybody's writing notes? Number one, remembering. People love to remember good times. As a matter of fact, the American Psychological Association states that research suggests that human memory is biased towards positive experiences and emotions, which can lead to more positive memories over a lifetime. See, it also, if you start studying the brain and what they do know up to right now, all those smart people out there, is that as we get further from an experience, our mind begins to distort. We don't remember it exactly as when it actually how it happened. And I know this because I have parents. Does everybody here has parents, and maybe they're not here anymore like mine. But I remember, if any of you have asked your parents about a negative experience you experienced with them as a child, only for them to tell you that never happened. Is this tracking? Okay, so these smart people, they're not that far gone, right? I mean, they got something there. And so I also think about, you know, have you ever had that friend from high school or a friend from, you know, the past that's all they can ever talk about? Or even people in ministry, all they are talking about is the ministry past. Oh, man, remember when? Remember this? Remember that? Well, yeah, those are good things, but, man, they can't stop talking about past times. All the mischief they got into. You know, eventually maybe, you know, they even got arrested like some of my friends did. You know, sometimes we'd steal stop signs back in the day, not thinking about the implication of you know, if somebody, that stop sign would not be there and somebody could die. When we were young, we were bored, small town. You know, it's just funny, and I have friends that will call me, "Remember when?" And it's just like, yeah. But one of the better benefits about being a child of God is remembering not the past of the world, but what He has done for us and what He is doing for us and what He is going to continue to do for us. Instead of obsessing over worldly behavior that bleeds through our hands as dust. And it does. I mean, I have a good friend, and he loves being part of a band. He loves singing. And, you know, he sang since as far as back as I can remember. But his identity is wrapped up in that. And over the years, he has just lost all connection with the Lord. And the only thing he can remember back to is this identity of, oh, well, if I have the affirmation of people while I sing, then I must be worth something. And nobody needs to live that way. And that's God, especially Christ, does not want us to have to live that way. All too often, we see throughout the Old Testament that God wants to remind his people of what God has done, to remind them that it is important that they remember that he is living and acting in their lives and cares a great deal for them. Even as Moses reads the second law in Deuteronomy, as he reminds before the Israelites go out into the promised land, and as he gives headship to Joshua because he has to say goodbye. Right? Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 3 says, Moses saying, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and that you go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know that what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, and that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. This is what we must remember. Not all our hijinks from the past. Not even, it's great to remember ministry from the past, but what is God doing now? It's great. You know, we need to remember it wasn't us that did all those wonderful things in ministry. It was the Lord using us. And now we have to remember, he's not done. I think that is the most exciting part, is he's not done with any of us, not by any measure. And we all get to sit in that a little bit, because he desires to remind us of his power over all of his creation, just as he does in Deuteronomy. Those words still ring true for all his children. His deliverance, his provision, his faithfulness, his promises, and his character, that you, as long as your main focus is on him, you will never have to say goodbye to his love and grace that he has wrapped you in. So we see it again in Psalm 77, 11, and 12. He said, I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work. Past, present, and the hope of the future, right? And talk of your deeds. I love the men and women in this congregation that continue to remind me of God's good deeds. There's nothing better than when you have a brother or sister that is not focused on this world so much that they cannot remind you of God's good deeds. That is the one. These are the brothers and sisters that have, they have been part of the backbone of keeping me going throughout all these years, that God would use them and speak through them to me. So be one of those people. Be one of those people that talks about God's good deeds. And we also have endless examples of the people, of people when they stop remembering God. I mean, we have tons of those examples of when we stop remembering God. The book of Judges plays like a skipping record. Every time things would go good, well, then they would do what's right in their own eyes, right? It's just a skipping record. And so, remember, as we point all this out, the main point here is to remember that we don't forget God's work, because we have nothing to bring. We have never brought anything besides our faith to believe on what he has done. That's it. And so, remember also, this brings me to my second point, which is the calling. We remember what he's doing and what he has done. Then there is a calling. That's right. When we first were called, do you remember when you were first called to Christ? When I was first called to Christ, there's no way I should have been up here. Because I would have jumped out into the audience. I was so on fire. I mean, it's crazy how that is. When we're first called, we're so quick to say goodbye to the world and hello to Jesus, aren't we? Whoo! We're so quick to say hello to Jesus that, I mean, we offend a lot of people around us. We even people that we could have loved and maybe could have ministered to, well, you know, we have to circle back around to them years later. And I have. And I'm sure y'all have too. And so I was happy to rush into whatever I was told to do as a servant when I first started in ministry. So much to the point, I'd say goodbye so quickly without praying or remembering what God, you know, had said about anything, or what he was doing, and it was all about Christ, and it was all about worship. I would forget all those things. I would forget about prayer and the lifestyle that would come with it. And we do that too still. And so the calling piece, as we say goodbye and we say hello to Christ, we're remembering him, but in remembering him, there's this unctionality of what we must do, what we're called to do as he uses us. And so here we are, or here I was at least, kind of real quick to just get into this fast times at ministry high, where we begin really after a while. What happens when we just rush out into ministry with it not in his power is we become called to caution. You ever get hurt by somebody that said something to you at the church or at work or in your family, and you're just trying to be Jesus to them? I've had all kinds of people say all kinds of crazy stuff to me in this church. And I do, I because of Jesus, we are messy. We just are. And you know what? There's forgiveness for it. There's grace for it. There's love for it. And I love that he has called us to one another. But we can't be called to caution if we're called to one another. I mean, I'm not saying be dumb, right? I'm not saying, you know, don't be cautious, because people can be crazy. I can be crazy. We all can be. But we can't stop loving one another. We can't stop forgiving one another. We can't stop showing grace for one another. We are called to this. And I know there's people in your minds right now that you're thinking, man, I don't know, that's a hard one. That's a difficult one. That's very difficult to think about, that I'm called to those individuals. But stop thinking about it so much and just remember what God has done and that he's called you into this. And wherever he's called you, he's going to make it happen. He's going to do some crazy things that are going to be exciting. You're going to see things and see in that moment that God is using you the way he's always desired to use you. And so remember that whatever you are doing, it's about being called into that worship, prayer, and lifestyle, you know, just loving one another. So we don't end up in that place of, you know, hurt and sadness, where over time, the priority of remembering to say hello to Jesus continually becomes more of, you know, I'm cautious about touching the people around me because, well, they're not very nice, and I'll just go and hear the word and then I'll leave. And, you know, this person offends me and I just don't know what to do with that person. I don't have a part in my brain that knows how to fit with that person. So I'm just going to leave and I'm not going to get to know those people. And I just want to encourage everyone here that you are called to one another. There are billions of people on this planet right now. And you got stuck with one another. So God has called you to love one another. And so the Bible shows us that in order to serve others, we must serve Christ first, or we become slaves to the calling of caution and the fire which burnt so bright in the beginning, which was meant to be tempered in the love and grace of Jesus, will be slowly choked out of his children. This is just, we got to be careful. Don't hear what I'm not saying. I believe that having caution and discernment in the wisdom of God is good. The issue is that we begin to trust our worldly discernment and caution, and I would go one step further and say that we can easily use worldly caution to avoid the calling that Jesus has on our life. We stop saying hello to Jesus and saying goodbye to our calling. And so, what are we called to then, James? You have all this, you know, caution, and yes, I get it. I get what you're saying, James. There are people that have hurt me, and so yes, I've tried to avoid people because it's just easier. It's easier just to say goodbye to my calling and just like briefly drive by, you know, fly by Christ and just say hello, goodbye. But this is what we're called to. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." So this is 1 Peter 5:10 is this reminder that it's not about us. This reminder of the God of all grace, the reason we're all sitting here breathing right now, is in his eternal glory by Jesus Christ after we've suffered a while we've been on this place. And suffering is involved. It's part of the plan. It's part of who we are. It's how we grow. We get to share in his suffering. And he's going to make us perfect. He's going to establish us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to settle you. He's going to call you. To him, it will be the glory and dominion forever and ever. But we are his children, and that is what we are called to. The next thing is Matthew 22:34. "But when the Pharisees heard that he was silenced, the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked Jesus a question, testing him and saying, 'Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?'" What's the greatest commandment in the law? "And Jesus said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets.'" This is a beautiful thing that we're called to. How does it get so malformed? How does it get so twisted? How do we end up seeing each other through the lens that we do? What does love look like, though? Romans 12:9. If we're going to have to love each other, what does it look like? Romans 12:9, it says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, giving preference to one another." Do you give preference to the one another? I mean, I'll be honest, there's been years, just depending on where I was at in my walk, that I'd give preference to an unsaved person. I need to be giving preference to my brothers and sisters, loving on them, helping pick them up. And this is what God, when we say goodbye, this is the desire of God for us as we fellowship with him, as we say hello to him. It goes on to say, "Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality." Man, I'm so glad for Calvary Chapel Wichita's hospitality. Hospitality has been one of the things I felt loved as soon as I walked through those doors. To look in this world for the things that we think are best for us for 35 years, at least it was for me, and then to find home with strangers that loved the Lord. It was just wonderful. And this is what he's calling us to love one another, as Becky and I were loved into this congregation, to do the same for others. Which brings me to my last point. Let me say this. When we step out and say hello by remembering what God has done, we are hopeful to what he has called us into. And our calling of loving God and loving others helps us step out and away from our worldly calling, which God will show up to bless his children. We wanted to sum it up. So the last point is the blessing. Everybody loves a blessing, don't they? Just bless me, Lord. That's what I need. I need that you're a double portion, right? Blessings? Yes, blessings. God is always blessing his children with things we take for granted. And the reminder, as we say goodbye to the Basil family, we say hello to Christ, is what God starts showing us, like when we receive that blessing, like it's not... It's so weird. We're blessed all the time. The fact that we're just living amongst each other, it's kind of just mind-blowing that we have all these cells in our bodies and we're interacting and we're doing all these things with one another. Every moment, every second, everything that we're experiencing is a blessing. When we're sick, it's a blessing. When we're suffering, it's a blessing. And what's cool about when we remember God and we find ourselves in our obedient to his calling, then he gets to share, like, hey, let me open your eyes to the blessings that are so abundant, even when everything is just upside down. I was talking to a brother not too long ago. He's working 7 days a week, and he's just like working from 12 to 12. And he said, I just had to stop while I was, you know, dumping a bunch of stuff in the dumpster. And he said, I just stood outside, and I was just in the middle of the parking lot. And he said, all I could do was just thank God for the blessing of being able to work so hard. The blessings, when we say hello to God, he like starts, because we're just ungrateful. We are. And so here, you know, we take for granted, the blessings that he gives us. But when we say hello to Christ, he starts showing us the blessings. He continually gives us an outpouring of blessings that meets all of our needs. And this should make our worship should become richer as we start recognizing the blessing. Our worship should just get like super thick. And a lot of times it don't. Because it's sometimes we don't want to receive the blessing. We're not good enough, Lord. No, I'm not good enough to receive that blessing. It's too late. It's too late. You've already been blessed. If you're a child of God, you just got to take the blessing. How hard is it to take a blessing for all them hard heads out there like myself? How hard if like somebody you want to bless other people? Just ask Bud DeBacker. He'll want to bless somebody, but if you try to bless, no, I don't need. I'm just saying, and I'm the same way. Like, oh well, let me help you. I don't need. I'm cool. I'm good. I mean, I might be hanging off by one finger. You know, I'm good. I'm hanging off a cliff. I'm good. I don't need your help. And that's how we are with the Lord. We're just hanging on by a thread. And it's too late. He's the rock in which we stand. So anything that you think you're hanging on to, as soon as you fall, you're going to be on a rock. It don't matter. You're just making your own life harder and not receiving his blessing that he has upon your life, because he has called you, and he has called you to remember who he is. It's a beautiful thing the way it all works out. It's perfect in all that he is. And so yet, we are also going to meet those of the people around us. We're going to meet our people that are like us who can be selfish, and how it overshadows gratitude. You're going to know the days that you don't feel like you can catch a break. You're going to feel stuck in life. There's going to be those days. You're also, you know, sometimes you're just going to not want to say goodbye. The only time you're going to want to say goodbye is to just be on vacation. You're done. You ever been just done? And that's the problem when we don't remember the blessing. We get to get our mind leaves from remembering our calling, and then we do our own thing. The weeks or months where there does not seem to be enough money, Those are times that we definitely don't feel blessed. When I was younger, it was more like a goodbye to work and a hello to illegal activity for many years for me when I was young. You know, nothing like stealing a few bikes. And, you know, I mean, who knows? I did all kinds of stuff, but, you know, I had a thing for bikes. So yeah, feel like Rocket Raccoon and Guardians of the Galaxy with the, you know. So anyway, the selfishness of man suffocates the grateful worship of the saints. And we have to remind ourselves of that. It blinds us to the blessings that God wants to show us as we begin to step out, sometimes even sluggishly, as we step in, we were trying to step into our calling. Our awareness of His blessings keep us grounded to that calling. If you want to be grounded in your calling, open your eyes and ask God to show you the infinite blessings that you have in your life right now. Paul reminds the Philippians, Philippians 4:19, "And my God will meet all of your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." He said it. He said it. That was another one of his goodbyes. He said, "Hey, guess what? Lord's going to meet all your needs. It don't matter. Like, I don't know what you're stressing about. You're already blessed from the floor up. You're blessed." So this is another example of these benedictions again and again that says goodbye to people and hello to Christ. And so now we can say, well, thank you, Pastor, for saying goodbye. And now we can say hello to Christ. Goodbye. Well, it doesn't happen that easy. So, yeah, Pastor, you found a biblical way for the Basil family to say goodbye and point back to Christ. Congratulations. Thank you for the low-hanging fruit. Well, guys, I've seen a lot of low-hanging fruit go rotten over the years. And figured we'd pick a few good ones upon my leaving in the name of Jesus and in the name of application. Number one, how are you remembering God daily? Is it through a distorted memory that just wants to remember what is perceived, what you read last month, what you may have heard last week, maybe last year? Remembering daily through His Word ensures that our brain does not create a false image of who we're saying hello to. We're all guilty of it. I'm guilty of it. But in the reminder of saying goodbye, Christ also reminded me to say hello to Him personally, as I need to keep His image sharp, that I need to be able to see His hands and the lines on His face. I need to be able to see who He is, what His heart is towards me, the holes in His hands. We got to see it. We got to see what He's done for us. And so, remember, just life moves really fast, guys. Old Ferris Bueller said it best: if you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This goes doubly when slowing down and remembering the Lord. We have to slow down to remember the Lord. We have to slow ourselves down. You cannot rush through life. How are you going to recognize who Christ is if you're going 100 down a highway and you're trying to wave at Christ as you're driving by? You're not going to see. You're going to say, "Hey, there's a guy. It could have been anybody. Hey, there's my Jesus." Turns out it was a trucker that broke down the way. How are we going to see Him if we don't slow down? So slow down and read your Word. And I mean that doubly for me as well. Slow down to worship. Slow down to pray. Slow down to make sure that you're not in His way. Man, He's called you to remember. Are you in His way? Are you in Christ's way right now of what He was called you to do? Are you holding on to everything? You're just ripping that? Don't. Let it go. He's got you. Remember what He's done. He's got you to this point. I think that's one thing that always is that reminder. The Holy Spirit's like, "I got you this far. You should have been dead long ago, James." I'm like, "Oh, yeah, right. Okay." All right, but I'm 51, Lord. Why should I go to Arkansas? He's like, shut up. I've got you this far, right? No, he doesn't tell me to shut up. He's like, hey, I love you. Why don't you see what I have for you over here? And so he's such a, he always speaks so lovingly, so gently. So let me get back to my, I lost my place. So we got to slow down. Number two, if you're actively remembering who God is, are you grounded in your calling? Are you excited about your calling still? Do you know what your calling is? Some of us may not. I remember when somebody told me, well, what's your spiritual gift? When I first got saved, I was like, dude, I don't know. Am I even saved? They're like, hey, just ease up, dude. Like, it'll come. Just keep praying. Just keep on being who you are. And it'll manifest itself. It's already there. And so I feel like a lot of times it's the same way with our calling. The calling is like God puts it in front of us. Matthew, it's part of it is loving God, loving others, and it's also sharing the good news of what he's done and who he is. Right? Matthew 22:18, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So what gifting do you have that you could serve God and others with? Well, have you been called to be paralyzed in caution? I hope not. Because remember the caution piece when we kind of get hurt and we decide, well, it's just easier to do our thing. Be careful not to get stuck there. Remember to be excited about your calling as a child of God. Be excited. Be excited. Be blessed when you wake up, knowing that you're being used as a child of God to make a difference for the kingdom. See, if you do not know what your gift is, it's okay. Ask your friends. They probably already know. Ask your pastor. Ask an elder. Ask Rob. He probably already knows. So if you don't know your calling, please, don't just stop and be paralyzed in that. Oh, I don't know. Like, God's got it. Every one of us will be used. God does not waste. So number three, the sooner you do, the more blessings you will see. The sooner you get into this, the sooner you get into remembering, the sooner you get into like being excited about your calling. I don't know. I know you might be like, I don't know. I haven't been excited about my calling for a long time. I'm going to have to blow the dust off and like oil the hinges. Like, no, like Jesus is that. He's going to get you going in the right direction, I promise. You will find that your calling is a blessing. And others will bless you too. Sometimes you're going to bless, you're going to be so blessed, you're going to feel guilty. Sometimes I feel so blessed that I feel guilty because the enemy wants to rob me of that blessing. Don't believe him. You just greedily accept that blessing because that is from the Lord. The Lord is trying to use people around you to love you and bless you. Don't be negative and try to be tough and strong and I got this. No, stop that. Be part of the community. What happened to community? What happened to the love that like just we just gather around, hold each other in prayer and pray over one another? That's why we started the prayer ministry. It was to be personally engaged with one another, to grab somebody and say, you know what, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to pray for you. What's going on in your life? Because community matters. The body of Christ matters. Your calling matters. Your gifting matters. And I want you to just be encouraged by that. There's people here that feel like they've lost their calling. There's people here that have felt like they don't know where the gifting is. And then God put that on my heart. And I'm here to tell you that you are part of this body of Christ. And you are community. And you are welcome. And you are wanted. You are desired to be used in the name of Jesus Christ. So, we just need to say bless you. Or I want to say bless you guys. And I want to thank God for you guys. And every day, if you could, write down five blessings God has given you. Like, make a little tablet. Or for you girls, you got your mirror with your lipstick. Come on, let's go. You know, I'm sorry. Sorry, parents. Or you know, your eyeliner. You know, just like write a little. What am I thankful for? What am I thankful for? Hey, if you can't remember what you're thankful for, you're going to get grounded in selfishness. Every day, just write down five blessings anywhere. And commit them to memory even. Try to find a new one every day. The more you say goodbye to your selfishness, the more you will say hello to Christ. Pray to God to show you areas where you are selfish and prideful, and ask others around you as well to that you can, like, all the things that are not of the Lord, like, are we in active pursuit to get them out of our life? And that's hard. But that's how it's a daily pursuit. And His grace is greater. So remember, my family, 1 Corinthians 16:23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with who? You. He's with you. Our spiritual connection among believers, it transcends all physical distance. No, whether we're here, we're in heaven, we're in Russia, it doesn't matter. We're all here together in Christ. We have that commonality, which transcends all space and time. Amazing. So we say goodbye. But we have one thing that binds us together, and it is a blessing that we do what we should continue to draw on during this time. Even more than saying goodbye, we must say hello to Jesus. The Bible reassures us of this reality of change and parting ways, while simultaneously He always affirms us, or is affirming, God's unfailing presence, love, and promises for new beginnings and eventual reunion in Him. And so I say goodbye to you all. I would like to leave you with my final benediction as I encourage you, as I pray, to continue, my brothers and sisters, to say hello to Christ. I would like to part with Numbers 6:24-36. This is the priestly blessing that is found in Numbers. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this congregation. I thank you for the love, the endless love, and the countless hours of people who poured in to Becky and I. Father, I just pray the scripture over this body right now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Lord, thank you for Calvary Chapel, Wichita. Please bless them and have your hand upon them forevermore. Lord, we love them so much. We love your work so much, and we praise you. We remember you. We are called by you, and you bless us so greatly, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name.